The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This your last game?
I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
All right, Max, you're up first. One TD, three interceptions. What does this loss mean for Drew Brees?
I got to be that guy this morning, huh? I got to be that guy. I love Drew Brees as a football fan. I'm such a big fan of Drew Brees. And yet today, after what may be his last game, if you're asking me point blank, I got to do my job and tell you what the loss means, unfortunately. Drew Brees is arguably a top 10 quarterback ever. He was playing in a pass-happy era and put up great numbers. Arguably a top 10 quarterback ever. He really needed another Super Bowl to elevate his status, and he really had a chance this year to do it. Going into the fourth quarter, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Stephen A., I tweeted out what I was thinking, which is Drew Brees right now, it's a tie game heading into the fourth quarter. Tom Brady almost usually comes through in these situations. Drew Brees right now has to be better than Tom Brady. He's got to do that for one quarter of football on a team that's already beaten Brady's team twice in the regular season. They're at home, and he couldn't do it. He was a lot worse than Tom Brady. And Tom Brady won spectacular, but he didn't make mistakes. And Drew Brees did. Drew Brees' legacy is he's the most accurate passer ever, right? Like, he's an amazingly accurate passer. But, guys, the fact of the matter is, too often, particularly over the last half decade, on teams that, Stephen A., for how long were you saying things like Drew Brees has to overcome this Saints defense and they're not giving him enough help on that side of the ball, but then they got him help on that side of the ball and they got him playmakers. And whatever imperfections on the Saints, you know, there were, hard to complain. They were one of the best balanced teams over the last 3, 4, 5 years in football. How much more could you ask for? He couldn't get it done in the playoffs. How often was he the guy? Over the last half decade, a big chunk of his career toward the end, if this was his last game, who you could point to and say, with better quarterback play, they could have won that game. Were they snake bit? Yes. Bad officiating, bad luck, all that's true. But also, let's be honest, bad Drew Brees, certainly not playing up to his standards otherwise. And when you think about it, was he ever the best quarterback in the league? He never won an MVP. For a lot of his career, it was Brady and Peyton in whatever order you wanted to put him back then, and then Rodgers. And then after Peyton left, you have an influx of new quarterbacks like Mahomes. And when you talk about the best, you always add Brees' name in at the end as a courtesy almost. But the fact is he's never in the running. Say, yeah, that guy's the best in the business. I hated to see it. I was really pulling for him because I thought this Saints team had a good chance to win the Super Bowl this year. And as a Drew Brees fan, I was hoping he could at least get to play in another one. He'd have had to go through Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and then likely Mahomes in order to get there. All quarterbacks better than him. So for all the good about his legacy, what the loss yesterday points to will be what I just mentioned. All those guys I mentioned that are ahead of him.
Before I get into that, particularly on a day like today, indulge me for just a second as I deviate from the subject at hand. I want to give major props to Bruce Arians for something that has never been mentioned on this show or any other show that I've mentioned. Do you understand that Bruce Arians is in the NFC Championship game and four of his leading assistants are all black? Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator. Harold Goodwin, he's your assistant head coach. Keith Armstrong, he's your special teams coordinator.
That's
this man,
point.
Bruce Arians, has four black men as his lead assistants, and they're in the NFC Championship game.
How's that working out for him?
It is working out well. I just wanted to give props to Bruce Arians for making those selections and thank him for that. Having said all of that, let me get back to your point.
Especially on this day, Stephen A., that's important to say.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Let me get back to your point about Drew Brees. It has no effect on Drew Brees whatsoever. Because we weren't going to label him number one anyway. No matter what Drew Brees did, we weren't going to look at him and say he's the greatest quarterback of all time. We were still going to put Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and others ahead of him. That's what we were going to do. He'd be a two-time Super Bowl champion instead of one. That would elevate his cachet, I guess. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. He's still a Super Bowl champion. He's still a guy that has thrown for over 80,000 yards in his career. We knew the miracle against Minnesota. That wasn't on him. Okay, we saw an NFC playoff game against Seattle. I think it was a conference championship game years ago. That wasn't on him. There have been plenty of times as opportunities that he's had that he's let slip away. But primarily, it was due to the Saints' defense. And even though the Saints' defense obviously has improved exponentially over the last few years, that was after Drew Brees was about 38, 39 years of age. He's 42 now. And so when we look at it from that perspective, you can simply look at him. You can allude to Father Time. You can allude to things catching up to you, age, attrition, et cetera, even though he was still excellent. Obviously, he needed more help. They got him more help, but still in all, you weren't able to close the deal. We look again, Alvin Kamara, Sean Payton, why didn't he get the ball more? Michael Thomas, why were you on lock and key? What happened with that? We can look at a bunch of things. In the end, if Drew Brees walks away and decides to go into the NBC booth next season, you know what we're going to say about him? The same thing we would have said about him if he won the damn Super Bowl, if he won yesterday's game. We're going to say one of the greatest quarterbacks mm-hmm. to have ever played in the NFL is now in the booth. Mm-hmm. That's what we would say. That's what we would have said.
That is true.
That's what we're going to say now that he lost.
But what's going to happen, Stephen A., like when you talk about the top 10 quarterbacks of all time, you know, those top lists, he's not top five. He didn't have a chance to be really. But top 10 even. Stephen A., he's not Tom Brady. He wasn't Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers. I'm just talking about quarterbacks in his own era. Or Joe Montana. Or then there are other guys like Steve Young, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, John Elway. Not to mention the guys coming up now. And I'm not even going that far back into time. I mean, you know, in my lifetime, there's Mahomes on the way. There are guys coming. Russell Wilson, if he wins another one. Drew Brees had a chance to make himself special, even among the most special ever, to kind of get into that inner sanctum of the best quarterbacks ever. You know how people talk about the Hall of Fame, and then it gets watered down a little bit, and they're like, they need a little ring of honor within the Hall of Fame? Drew Brees had a chance still to enter that. He won't be getting in. Not to that. And it pains me to say it. I was really rooting for him, and I thought he had a shot to do it this season. But let's be honest. You're right about everything you said. Not, this isn't his fault. That's not his fault. But you can't sit here with a straight face and tell me this morning that over the last four or five seasons, Drew Brees has played well in the playoffs. He's certainly not elevated his level, but he hasn't even really
matched
his
normal level. No, I thought he played well against Minnesota.
And
the other times he didn't. The other times he didn't.
Okay.
I thought he played well against Minnesota.
You can point to a game or two.
Yeah.
I don't think he played especially well.
I think they would have beat.
Yeah,
listen, I don't know if Philadelphia would have went to the Super Bowl
well.
If New Orleans was the one that was coming into the city of brotherly love that particular season, the way that Drew Brees was playing. But in the end, once again, he's going to be inducted as a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to be recognized as one of the great quarterbacks to have ever played the game. He's a Super Bowl champion, and he's thrown for over 80,000 yards. I think that everything else would be open for debate because people are not going to pay attention to it to that degree. I think the kind of things that I'm mentioning are what he's going to be remembered most for.
Yeah. That's why when you did your Stephen Zay list, I said that exact same thing.
Mm.
Right? That's exactly what I told you when I rearranged it for you and put him down there on the bottom.
That's right.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia,
visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
James Harden shows up in a 30-point triple-double. Unreal. Stephen A., you got to be pretty excited about this Brooklyn team. What did you learn from that one game alone about Harden's arrival?
Well, I learned that the Brooklyn Nets are going to the NBA Finals with or without Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving may be the determining factor in winning the chip, but they won't need him to get to the finals. All you need is for him not to be a distraction. I don't care whether he is a distraction or not. James Harden and Kevin Durant going to the finals. I don't see anybody stopping them. It's just that simple. And did you see KD?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see him? I recall sitting on this set with a guy by the name of Max Kellerman. Maximilian. Oh, no. Maximus, whatever the hell his name is. Okay. I recall sitting and I said, yo, I understand the stuff about the Achilles, but this is not a dude whose game is predicated on his athleticism. He's a sniper who's 6'11". With a 7'6 wingspan and ball handling skills. There's nothing you can do to him in his sleep. He will average 25. Well, guess what? I was wrong. He's averaging 30. Okay, I was wrong. He's averaging 30, okay? On 54% shooting and 48% from three-point range in his first 10 games back from an Achilles tear after an 18-month layoff. He's averaging 30.
Yeah.
He ain't even get warmed up.
He looks okay to me.
He ain't even get warmed up yet, okay? And so now you got Harden in there.
Yeah.
And Harden, with his ability to pass the ball, we're questioning his, you know, he dribbles the ball, whatever. Harden will pass. Harden will accumulate assists. And we know what he can do point-wise, particularly one-on-one. Lord have mercy. Brooklyn going to the finals. Brooklyn is going to the finals. That's all I do. That's what I learned.
Well, first of all, KD, actually, one of the remarkable things about him so far is his athletic ability, his athleticism, as it were, doesn't look affected at all. He looks like the same guy. He's had an amazing recovery. Let me say this. They still have a fighting chance to get to the finals with Harden and without Kyrie. That we know, but I can't say, oh, they're definitely going to the finals without Kyrie. And this is why, Stephen A., the Harden move accomplished a couple things. It was a muscular move, right? It did more than one thing at one time. It was a hedge against Kyrie imploding or not being available because you brought in a superstar that gives you a premium at the highest level, even above Kyrie or almost everyone in the NBA, to pair with a guy even better than him in KD. And that could make up for a lack of depth, which didn't used to be the problem when the season started. First, the Dinwiddie injury. Then they trade LeVert and Allen, and then LeVert has some scary medical news, some kind of a growth on his kidney. Like, you know, you hope he's okay. But there are three guys of their six best players who aren't there. Like, that's three out of a nice starting five. LeVert and Dinwiddie, kind of quasi-all-star level, and Allen, who's very good. They're all gone. So to make up for that, they got, you know, counterintuitively, instead of looking for more depth to fill it in, they said, no, we're going to go high-end to make up for it. They bring in Harden. What Harden showed with KD is, yeah, he can play with KD easy, and they're going to be really good. But that's two guys they have now. They don't have any of their other best players, including maybe Kyrie. So because of how thinned out the team is in order to bring on Harden, partly as a hedge against Kyrie's absence, you actually really do need two things. For Kyrie to be there for those guys, so it's three stars, and for Kyrie not to gum up the works, not to throw a monkey wrench into everything, because Harden and KD seem to know how to play together.
Oh, Max Kellerman, why don't you just tell the truth to the American people? You holding on to Milwaukee, bro? I mean, you wrong 2 years in a row. You said that you went from Giannis being the best player in the world to number five over a weekend. And then this in the bubble, you picked them to beat Miami. You were wrong about those two things. Is that what this is about, Max? You holding on hope because they got Drew Holiday and they still kept Middleton and they got Giannis the Greek Freak? Are you still holding on to Milwaukee coming out of the East? Is that what this is all about? You're going for the three strikes and you're out?
No, I'd rather.
How much you love baseball?
I would much rather Brooklyn come out of the East. A New York team that's not the Knicks playing for a championship against the Lakers probably would be amazing. I'm not holding on to Milwaukee. I'm just saying it's going to take more than two guys.
Yeah, two guys. Defensively, offensively, they don't need anything but those two. It's like that.
I'm just sad I can't go to games.
You will be. I think you will be by the time July rolls around.
Hopefully soon. Last year I went to a few.
By the time June, July rolls around, you'll be able to.
That was a lot of fun. I hope so. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Last night was a lot of fun. In the battle of the living legends, Drew Brees makes mistakes and Tom Brady stays away from that. On that note, we bring in Super Bowl champ, our friend Ryan Clark.
Pass the clock!
Good to see. Why is he a pass?
See the shirt right there? I think it's clean.
No collar.
There's nothing wrong with pastors. Pastors don't look good, Molly. Pastors look good.
I don't look at pastors like that.
There are a few.
But I don't look at them like that.
I'm just saying, there's a few pastors that rock those shirts.
Well, usually Ryan preaches the gospel.
I'm glad you check them out.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
I check out the wardrobe. I check out the wardrobe.
I'm just teasing you. You know what I'm saying? All right, guys, let's get into it. Stephen, I'll start with you. Were you more impressed by the Bucs or disappointed with the Saints?
I was disappointed in the Saints. But I'm trying to recall what my man Ryan Clark said. I was looking for him this morning. You know what I'm saying? I was looking for him the whole weekend.
He was on TV.
He was arguing with me. Or last week coming into these games, and you know, I mean, lead the football knowledge to us. That's what I heard. Well, I was 4-0 this week in Ryan Clark. I'm going to hold on to this because that's a miracle. I understand that. But damn it, I'm going to hold on to it.
I was a psychic. All you did was pick the favorite.
Hey, don't hurt me.
You picked every favorite.
Were you not talking about Tom Brady? I thought you were talking about Tom Brady. The Saints were favored, brother. Really? That's what you said? I don't recall that, Ryan. I mean, Ryan, okay. All right, Ryan. I don't have the video in front of me. I'm going to get you, though. Here's the deal. You don't expect Drew Brees to throw some interceptions. And if we really, really dissect it, there was a miscommunication with him and Alvin Kamara on one interception. I think Devin White intercepted that pass. There was another one where Jared Cook, it bounced off his right shoulder, even though the vision was impeded to some degree by a defender right in front of him. It still went through his hands and hit his shoulders, bounced off of it into the arms of a Tampa Bay defender. I think it was Edwards, but I'm not sure. The bottom line is this. When you look at the New Orleans Saints, I can look at Drew Brees, and it wasn't obviously an impressive performance. I look at Sean Payton not getting Alvin Kamara the ball nearly enough. I look at Michael Thomas, just a no-show. Not 1 yard. I mean, think about it. Now, Ryan, am I wrong to hold somebody? You make $20 million? That's what I tried to tell Max.
Yeah.
$20 million! $20 million! Okay?
And when he got his money.
That's right. And when we got his money, when he got his money, none of us lamented that because we know Michael Thomas can ball. We got all of that. Mm-hmm. But damn, not one receiving yard. Let's put that in the proper perspective. Julio Jones getting that money. Antonio Brown was once getting that money. I mean, some of the elite wide receivers. Not one receiving yard. Not one. Not one. He had as many receiving yards as me and Max. I mean, that's how bad Michael Thomas. I mean, at the end of the day, in terms of your productivity, and I got to look at Sean Payton for that too. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at it from the standpoint that I'm impressed with what I've seen from Tampa, particularly their defense. I already raved about Bruce Arians and that staff. He's got four brothers as lead assistants, head assistant, head coach, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, special teams coordinator. I mean, all of them are brothers. Major, major props to Bruce Arians. But in the end, I'm still looking at New Orleans and saying, damn, I didn't expect that from y'all.
Max?
I was impressed by the Bucs, and you know, I understand what you mean about, tell me how this sounds, Stephen A. Does this sound right? $20 million! $20 million! I suspect
you don't
have
that
heard
kind
of
flavor.
That's going to be a meme or a GIF or a GIF or whatever they call it. $20 million!
That's right.
That's right. But anyway, I was impressed. I had to be impressed by the Bucs guys because the bottom line is this. And I know I'm Mr. Tom Brady Cliff guy, but I got to give credit where credit's due. He smashed through the prediction. And even though he set himself up for success, he had success. And the reason he had success was that, look, in the moment of truth, Tom Brady's not going to beat himself. The margin that Tom Brady had better than everyone else ever, right? Like, the reason he's the GOAT is he makes better decisions. He does. He processes the information more quickly, and he doesn't screw up when you need it most. When they've lost, it's been he has 500 yards against the Eagles, and they still lost, you know? It's very rare. No one's perfect. He's messed up, but it's very rare that he does. He's not going to make the mistakes, and usually the other guy does. Here, Drew Brees had a chance, fourth quarter, tie game. There's some part of your legacy that you can enhance, right? That's on the line. You can maybe win another Super Bowl this year. You're going to have to beat Brady and Rodgers and maybe Mahomes to do it. All those guys are better than you. But you know, you have a chance. Just don't play better than Brady for one quarter of football. Couldn't do it because Brady didn't make the mistakes. Now, the offensive line helped. The Bucs' offensive line, the Saints weren't really getting much pressure. That's real good play by an offensive line that had a revolving door in a position. Right? The backup of the backup in there. The Bucs defense was opportunistic. They scored 14 points off of two turnovers, meaning not just was the defense opportunistic, but then the offense, Tom Brady, took advantage and scored touchdowns. You know, like they were better all around, especially when they needed to be, and they were better on the road against a team that had beaten them twice. Shellacked them, you know, really. So to say that I'm disappointed in the Saints, sure. I mean, that's why the question is it, are you impressed or disappointed? Really more, because you feel both. I'm more impressed by the Bucs here. This was Tom Brady's first year on a new team. Limited practice time because of COVID. As usual, Tom Brady's team peaking at the right time. And as usual, Tom Brady, at the very least, not screwing up when you need him the most. The other guy did.
You know what, Stephen A. was right. Stephen A. picked Tampa Bay. I went against what my prediction was before the season. Before the season, I said the New Orleans Saints would win the NFC South, but I said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would advance farther in the playoffs. And then I got an opportunity to stick with my pick, and I went the other way. I went the other way because I didn't expect that from Drew Brees. But even with that, I'm more impressed with the Buccaneers. And here's why. A lot was said about the New Orleans Saints beating them two times and how hard it is to beat a team three times. Well, I was on the team that beat a team three times twice. And so I was like, oh, no, it's not that big of a deal. This is what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did. They took the two losses to the Saints and they said, all we are going to work on is what those two losses said about us and how we can beat the Saints the next time. Think about the last time these two teams played in the 38-3 win by the New Orleans Saints. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers ran the ball five times. Five times. Yesterday, they ran it 35 times. They only threw it 33 times. That's an adjustment by Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator. That's an adjustment by Bruce Arians. They took the risk out of going to get the biscuits, and it paid off. Now, think about them defensively. If you give up 38 points, you're getting carved up. What does Drew Brees carve up now? the intermediate to short routes in a zone defense. You know what we're going to do? We're going to play press man. We're going to put pressure on Drew Brees. We're going to make a quarterback that can't push the ball past 20 yards down the field beat us that way. Hell, they had to bring in Jameis Winston to throw the best deep ball we've seen from a Saints passer the whole season. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers made the adjustments. And yes, Tom Brady is a part of that. But this was about the team as a whole. This isn't even about Jason Light making the right moves and getting the right people in place so you can protect Tom Brady. Think about Tristan Wirfs. Think about Rob Gronkowski, who only had one catch but blocked well, protected well. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers did everything they needed to do to win yesterday. And when you look at these teams, for the most part, everybody showed up like they were supposed to. The Saints defense showed up. The Buccaneers showed up. It was about Drew Brees not showing up. It was about Mike Thomas not showing up. And the Buccaneers making every adjustment they needed.
Well, there's a couple of things that I wanted to challenge you on with your soliloquy there, which was very eloquent, by the way. But I still wanted to bring this up. Number one.
Here you go, man.
Hold on. First of all, number one, let's try not to give Jameis Winston too much credit for that. There was nobody within the same area code of that receiver, okay? I mean, it was wide open. Everybody ran a different direction, okay? I mean, right. You didn't even have a reference. Hold on, Ryan Clark. You didn't even have an official around to intercept the ball. It wasn't even an official in the vicinity.
Stephen A. Taysom Hill said the same thing.
Okay?
Taysom Hill had the same thing and threw a punt.
Okay,
I'm just saying it's the best deep ball we've seen from a passer.
I'm just saying, come on, that wasn't nobody in the same damn area code. That's number one. Number two, while I give you all the credit in the world in terms of what you're highlighting about Tampa, because I'm certainly not trying to take anything away from them, specifically today. Let's also understand, Ryan Clark, that when you look at the turnovers by Drew Brees, that led to two touchdowns. That led to two touchdowns. They won by 10 points. They didn't even have to travel, 20 yards to score a touchdown. So we got to take that into consideration and highlight how profound of an effect the turnovers had in Tampa Bay winning this game. That's why I said I'm more disappointed with New Orleans.
All right. No one's responding? Okay, we're going to keep it going because I got more debate topics.
They told me we had to start to wrap, Molly. I tried to listen.
Oh, you listen.
I know Stephen A. and Max don't listen.
I appreciate
to them,
so I you. So it threw me off, that silence. All right. We'll keep it moving here, guys. It was closer in Kansas City than most expected. Patrick Mahomes leaving the game with a concussion in the third quarter. The Chiefs defense managing to hold off Baker Mayfield and the Browns for a 22-17 win. Max Kellerman, why did the Browns lose this game?
I'm sorry, what's the question, Molly?
Why did they lose this game when they were given a gift when Patrick Mahomes exited?
Andy Reid. Andy Reid is why they lost the game. Guys, let's just take yourself back to when Andy Reid faked the fake, right? Take yourself back to that moment. The Browns were coming on in that game. You know, the Browns, the Chiefs defense was stout against the run early in the game. But Nick Chubb and especially Kareem Hunt, as the game wore on, attrition, started breaking through. And with no Patrick Mahomes, you just felt like Baker Mayfield, who I would give at least a B+. I thought Baker Mayfield was very good, bordering on excellent. Not his fault that Chubb dropped a couple passes, right? But so the game was not over yet. And they were short of the first down. And then fourth and one, even Tony Romo, who not only gets ESPN, I'm sure, but seems to have ESP, right? He seems to be able to predict the future, said, they're not running a play here, right? They're just trying to draw you off sides, get the first down. And Andy Reid, you have to coach up body language. You have to coach up the team to look like you're just going through the motions. And then with his backup quarterback, you run that play and it ices the game. See, Andy Reid done coach scared. Andy Reid has that Super Bowl equity. Andy Reid, a guy who used to get killed for clock management at the end of games, right? Whose understudy won a Super Bowl with a Philly special, a trick play, before Andy Reid ever won a Super Bowl, has that Super Bowl equity now. So whether it works or it doesn't work, okay, go ahead, second guess him. He's not worried about you. He's calling the strongest possible game to play to win the game. And fortune favors the bold. Hey, if you replace Andy Reid with a scared coach, The Browns might win that game.
Max, you lost me. Did you mean that you meant to say fake the fake? Like, not fake the funk. You meant to say fake the fake. I didn't quite. I was a little lost there.
You're still stuck on that. I'm just saying, I thought that was some new stuff. It just threw me off.
Okay. I'm a little slow on the uptake there. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Okay. All right. No problem. Max, come and listen, man. I mean, the way you talk about Andy Reid, you speaking about him in such glowing terms, it's like you wouldn't mind seeing him in spandex. You need to stop. The fact of the matter is, it's like, listen,
you Andy Reid. You do not want to see Andy Reid in spandex.
Of course we don't want to see that, but the point is, that's how Max
how
sounds.
You connect
that's
those
mine, that's exactly my point. The point that I'm trying to make, Max, is this. How are you going to come to that conclusion?
I don't think anyone wants to see Andy Reid in spandex. Calm down.
How are you going to come to that conclusion on a 4th-and-1 when you see that the Cleveland Browns, why did they lose this game? To answer the question directly, Ryan Clark, because they ain't running damn football nearly enough. You give Chubb 13 carries? You give Kareem Hunt 6 carries? I understand they were struggling early on, but these are the kind of brothers that have the capability to wear you down, particularly when you consider the fact that Patrick Mahomes went down with the concussion. Now, understand there were other opportunities that they had. Rashad Higgins going for the touchdown, obviously getting a touchback because he fumbled and the ball went out of the end zone. We know all of that. That would have brought them to within 16-10. That was a huge mistake on his part, even though you can't malign him but so much because it was a tremendous effort that he put forth. You just got to be smarter than that. We understand it. But in the end, when they started giving Chubb the ball more in the second half, when they gave the ball to Kareem Hunt, you started seeing good things happen, things being set up for Baker Mayfield, who I thought played a pretty damn good game. All I'm trying to say is that those are the things that come to my mind more so than one play called by Andy Reid for Chad Henne. And Chad Henne, to me, him scrambling for those 11 yards and coming within a half yard on the first down on the previous play, that was the big play, more so than Andy Reid's call for a short pass to Tyreek Hill.
Yep, as usual, both of y'all are wrong. This is all about Kansas City's defense, and here's why. You want to talk about the reason they didn't run in the first half, Stephen A? Let's go back to the first half. There's a Nick Chubb toss. Who blows that up? Tyrann Mathieu for a tackle for loss. There's a Nick Chubb lead strong. Tyrann Mathieu splits the blockers, forces him back inside. They got scared of the run. And then when they got scared of the run, Kevin Stefanski said, you know what? They're stacking the box, trying to keep us from running. We're going to throw the football. You threw the football. You had some nice plays. What happens? You're about to score. And now Dan Sorensen knocks the ball out of Rashard Higgins' hand as he tries to get into the end zone. That's Kansas City making a play. Then you take it back. You fast forward it to the second half. Tyrann Mathieu, another interception on a great job being the middle runner. Think about how smart that is from Spags. They're playing cover two. Usually your middle linebacker is the middle runner. You put the most instinctive football player in football as the middle runner. He comes off of the tight end, goes to the dagger, reads Baker Mayfield, gets the interception. And that's when the run came in, Stephen A. You're thinking about, okay, you didn't give Nick Chubb the ball. When we started to give Nick Chubb the ball, they started to win the game. No, they started giving Nick Chubb the ball because Tyrann Mathieu scared him off the pass. And so he starts to get rolling, right? You think you're doing well. What happens? Mm-hmm. You get an interception. Chad Henne throws the worst interception in football this weekend. And okay. So even me, at that time, I'm tweeting, oh my gosh, the Cleveland Browns are going to win this game. What happens? You get a loss, and then Chris Jones has the big rush on 3rd and long that makes Baker Mayfield check the football down to Kareem Hunt. And so, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Chad Henne makes a good throw. Chad Henne makes a good scramble. Andy Reid has Super Bowl intestinal fortitude and goes for it on 4th and 1, which was a great play. But it was the plays made throughout this game by Ryan the Kansas Clark. City Chiefs defense. Very what, Stephen A? I let you finish.
I'm saying it's one of two things. Look at me.
It's my show.
You're either wrong or you're a hypocrite. Because you were on air last week saying that you got to run the football against Kansas City. You, no matter what happens, you got to run in order to beat
first
them.
Off,
did you not say that? Did you not say that?
Can you break your tongue? Why are you screaming? My bad. Why are you screaming?
You know. Let me give you the Michael Jackson voice.
I'm sorry, Ryan Clark. Did you not say, Ryan Clark?
God rest his soul.
Oh,
great
please don't do that voice,
did you not,
though.
Please don't judge
just
me.
Just throwing me off.
Don't judge me, Molly. Am I Ryan Clark?
They were shutting down the run early, Stephen A.
Did you say, Ryan Clark?
Stephen A. Chiefs defense was shutting down the run.
Okay. I'm just saying, Max.
They were.
Did Ryan
they were
Clark
shutting that by the way. And by the way.
Oh, my God.
Did Ryan Clark say that?
Yes, they were.
Did Ryan
they
Clark
were
say that?
They were shutting down the run.
Okay.
They were
okay.
shutting down the run, and when Stefanski tried other ways of getting Nick Chubb the ball, he dropped it multiple
times.
He dropped the ball. Right? Like, that's what happened. And
also,
defenses that are stout against the run early in the game, as the game wears on, aren't as stout against the run sometimes, especially when you have a change of pace back, basically, in terms of the two different kinds of run, like Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And it was starting to work. The point is, whatever you were complaining about the Browns early, and they had some bad luck, too, but whatever you're complaining about the Browns early, they were coming on, and a golden opportunity without Mahomes.
Yes.
And if Andy Reid doesn't call the play he does in the moment of truth, there's a good chance the Browns can come back in that game.
Here's the bottom line.
Stop that, man.
Here's the bottom line. Did Ryan Clark say this last week? Of course he said that.
Okay, Stephen A.
Period.
Rest your gentle voice for a second. I got another debate I want to get to here.
Don't judge me.
Ron Johnson, I don't judge anybody, returned Lamar Jackson's first career red zone interception, 101 yards for a score, tying the longest interception return TD in postseason history as the Bills beat the Ravens to reach their first AFC title game since 93. RC, you're going first this time. Is it fair to put this loss on Lamar?
No, it's not. And I know people want me to come on here and say it's just and only his fault, but it's not. Now, is that interception a huge part of why they lost the game? Absolutely. He is not absolved of any fault, of any blame, but this is an organizational failure by the Baltimore Ravens. And here's why. It's hard to be upset with the way that the Baltimore Ravens have embraced Lamar Jackson. They've embraced him as a person. They've embraced his character. They've totally embraced his skill set. But what they haven't done is build him up in any way. Right. What they should do, they should take Greg Roman and they should take all of their offensive coaches and go sit them in Baltimore. I mean, in Buffalo this offseason and let them talk to Brian Daboll. Let them talk to McDermott and see what did you do? What did you focus on to take Josh Allen from the dude he was to who he is? The first thing they're going to tell you is we got him Stephon Diggs. Dan Orlovsky talked about it this morning. Maybe you go get. Day. Maybe you go get Allen Robinson. He needs a number one receiver. And then what you do is you get somebody to totally revamp the passing game, totally add some creativity to what they are doing. I am sitting at the house, and you heard Max mention Tony Romo earlier. I'm sitting at the house, and I'm calling every play. Run, pass, run, run, pass, because there's no creativity in formation, there's no creativity in motion, and there is no balance in what they are doing as a team. And so then now you put Lamar Jackson in a situation where the only drop back that the offensive line can block for is when he scrambles and makes a play. This team has no number one, they have no outlets, and they have in no way increased Lamar's opportunity to progress as a passer, and that's what we saw. And so until the Baltimore Ravens understand that, embrace that, and fix that, they'll find themselves in this position.
Ryan Clark, I apologize. Ryan Orlovsky, I have a question for you, sir. Who'd you pick to win this game?
I ain't never around the back of the end zone.
Who did you pick to win this game coming into the game?
The Baltimore Ravens.
I knew that. It was a rhetorical question. Your pick. Now, everything that you just said about the Baltimore Ravens, did you know that coming into the game Saturday night, yes or no?
I knew that. Right. Here's what I expected.
Hold on. You knew it coming into the game. You're not just an astute football mind. You're not just a Super Bowl champion. You train football players. You get them in shape. You get them ready mentally, physically, emotionally. You're doing all, okay? And
you picked,
knowing football the way that you do, being the astute football mind that you are, knowing this roster, you picked the Baltimore Ravens. And now that they lost the game, and you were wrong, and I was right, but you were wrong.
Whoa.
And now that you were wrong, now we want to engage in revisionist history. They lost because of this. They lost because of all the conditions you knew going into the game when you picked them. So now, what sense does that make that you would know this going into the game, pick them anyway, and then use it as an excuse?
Because what I knew,
and ignore the 101-yard pick six that was thrown by Lamar Jackson.
First off, he had never thrown a red zone interception. Stephen
but
A.
he did that. When they get down
there, when they get down there, they
score. We only talk about this game.
Right?
We only talk about this
Bills,
game.
The Bills don't stop the run. The Bills don't stop
We're
the run.
We're only talking the about this game.
And this defensively, game. They matched up perfectly. Right. Josh Allen ain't played great.
And Ryan Clark, I'll give it to Max. I'll give it to Max with these last words. Molly is my witness.
Mm-hmm.
I literally was on the air with Ryan Clark Friday.
Yeah.
Arguing the point. I believe in the Baltimore Ravens defense.
Yeah.
I believe in them. But I don't believe in the passing game of the Baltimore Ravens, who are dead last. Yeah. I said the inclement weather, and you're ultimately going to force Lamar Jackson to throw.
It wasn't the weather.
And something's going to happen.
It wasn't the bad weather.
And the weather wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So I said, you're going to have to throw it, and it's not going to happen.
A dead clock's right twice a day.
That's all I'm saying.
You're asking to put the Brother loss on Lamar. It is not fair.
Thank you,
it
Max.
Is not fair to put the loss on Lamar.
It's not fair.
Lamar needed to be the reason they won. That it says on the screen, Stephen A., if you look, on the lower third, dare to put loss on
not
Lamar.
Who are you, dare Abby? What do you mean it's not fair?
It is.
It is fair.
It is. I'm answering the question. It is not fair to put the loss on Lamar. He needed to be the reason that they won. He clearly was not. But let me tell you why they lost. And Ryan's right. They're predictable. What works in the regular season when coaches don't have enough time just to focus on you, prepare for you, is different than the playoffs. Coaches, we've seen it time and again now in the playoffs against the Ravens, can take the run away from the Ravens. So now what do you have? And they were playing a cover four, like they weren't going to give up anything deep. Lamar had to be better on his reads, right? And they needed to attack the flats better and all that kind of stuff. But that's one part of the equation. Let me tell you what else is there. There isn't a dynamic playmaker. There's just not. I mean, I apologize to
we knew
to
that before Saturday's
what
game.
I've been saying. He needs
don't
to be
apologize to him. He keeps talking.
Not West Covina Brown. Now, that's one. Two, the offensive line. It was a problem, right? Like they couldn't hear. This is a fact, right? And it affected the cadence. Now, three, the offensive line includes the center, who could not snap the ball. The center couldn't snap the ball, right? Like all those things
are true. The center couldn't center.
Lack of a playmaker meant that the so-called playmaker out there in the moment of truth were the remains of Dez Bryant. They actually trotted out the remains of Dez Bryant who can't get any separation to try to make a play at the end of the game. All those things are true. Lamar needs to be better. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But so does the entire team. The O-line, the playmakers have to get more talented. The coaching has to get more imaginative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole slew of things, not just Lamar.
He lost argument the second he said Ryan Clark was right. This ain't the day say Ryan Clark was right.
I can't believe.
Any other day but today.
Is this why y'all brought me on here?
Oh, my God.
Stephen A. went 4-for-4. He ain't going to let anyone forget about it. Enjoy it while it lasts, Stephen A.
I can't believe Stephen A. feeds himself his own grapes. I thought he'd have people do that for him. Such a big diva. All right, let's keep it moving here, guys. Aaron Rodgers was his bad self on Saturday, dominating the number one defense in the NFL with Green Bay, putting up 32 points against the Rams. Stephen A., what do you think? Has Rodgers taken back the title as best quarterback in the league from Patrick Mahomes?
Listen, he's the best quarterback now.
Mm.
He's going to be the league MVP. He's probably about to go to a Super Bowl unless Tom Brady steps up and has something to say about it. 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, complete 70% of his passes at age 37 with his 13th full complete season as a starter in the books. This brother is something special. And for those who just thought it was done and over with Aaron Rodgers, you must have forgot. It's just that simple.
Okay, Roy Jones.
Okay.
You know you're nervous about Sunday. Forgot. Don't lie.
By the way,
Stephen is a nervous wreck for Sunday.
I didn't forget.
With your chest out. Go ahead, Max.
Leave it, Tom Brady.
I didn't forget anything. I never slept on Aaron Rodgers until I saw Mahomes. He's the best I've ever seen, and there's very little to choose between them. And this year, Rodgers was even slightly better than Mahomes. But if I have one game to win, I'm still taking Mahomes. And over the last three seasons, no one's been close to as good as Mahomes in the NFL. And considering this year he was just as good as he's been recently, maybe even a little better, I can't put anyone ahead of him overall. It's close. It's very close. Mahomes won at Rodgers too. Very close.
I will say this. I talked to somebody who's coached defense for a long time in this league, and they know Aaron Rodgers extremely well. They played against Patrick Mahomes this year, and his words were, that dude isn't better than Aaron Rodgers was years ago at his best, and he's not better than Aaron Rodgers is now. He says it's about up here. Says they're both extremely talented, but Aaron Rodgers has more here than Patrick Mahomes has. But this year, Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback. At this point of the season, Aaron Rodgers still is the best quarterback. They've always been 1A and 1B to me, and now Aaron Rodgers is showing
Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark saved himself and made amends for the rest of the day. He had a bad morning, but now he has made amends.
Stephen A. is really feeling himself.
No way to talk to a man of the
four good picks.
Close.
Those four picks, that can never happen again.
You can tell a man who ain't used to it
every day again.
No, it doesn't.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.